But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. If the earth will look identical to the days of Noah, this verse alludes possibly that the Nephilim, as in the days of Noah, will once again be on the earth when Jesus returns. This isn't the only biblical reference that supports this possibility. We will look at two other biblical passages in relation to this, an extra biblical text in the Book of Jubilees, and the theory that Nephilim still live in the earth, hiding in caves or behind giant rock doors. The Book of Jubilees is an ancient Jewish apocryphal text that covers the biblical history of the world from creation to Moses. Jubilees 8:1-5 speaks of Canaan, Noah's grandson, who found ancient writing from before the flood, written by the fallen angels, also referred to as the Watchers. This writing may have had secret knowledge that spoke about how the Nephilim could rise from the dead, just like they somehow returned after the flood. In the 29th Jubilee, in the first week, in the beginning thereof, Arpachshad took to himself a wife, and her name was Rosha, the daughter of Susan, the daughter of Elam, and she bare him a son in the third year in this week, and he called his name Canaan. And the son grew, and his father taught him writing, and he went to seek for himself a place where he might seize for himself a city. And he found a writing which former generations had carved on the rock. And he read what was thereon, and he transcribed it and sinned owing to it. For it contained the teaching of the Watchers, in accordance with which they used to observe the omens of the sun and moon and stars in all the signs of heaven. The concept of Nephilim being raised back to life wouldn't be as impossible as raising a human spirit back to life. When a human soul dies, it goes either to heaven or hell, depending on whether you've accepted and believed in Jesus Christ or not. If a Nephilim giant was brought back to life, it would be with a demonic spirit, which is what these beings had as souls, which go throughout the earth seeking someone to inhabit. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, "I will return to my house from which I came," and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. A common desire of those following the occult, which is the opposite spiritual side of following God, has been to resurrect these evil beings back to life. Ezekiel 13:18-20 tells us about ancient occultists who would attempt to use magic charms and magic headbands to potentially resurrect dead Nephilim back to life, and say, "Thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? And will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls there like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds." In the Douay Rheims 1899 American Edition Bible Translation, which is translated off the Latin Vulgate, which for more than a millennia was the most popular Bible translation before the King James Version Bible, we hear once again about the possibility of giants rising again back to life. "Let not the dead live, let not the giants rise again. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and hast destroyed all their memory." We can see that it was definitely a desire of the ancient occultists to raise the Nephilim back to life. So does this mean that they will rise again in the future? In Isaiah 13:3 of the Brenton Septuagint translation, it says that giants are coming to fulfill God's wrath. I give command and I bring them. Giants are coming to fulfill my wrath, rejoicing at the same time and insulting. Is this part of what Jesus meant when he said that the last days will look like the days of Noah? The Nephilim may appear on the earth once again. This may be exactly what we're seeing with the widespread acceptance of the UFO phenomenon.
It's possible that a lot of the UFO activity that we're seeing today is maybe a reenactment, a repeat of some of these things that occurred before the flood. I can't say that with authority, but it seems to me, you know, in Luke chapter 21, Jesus made a statement which translators have never known how to translate. He said, at the very end of the age, there will be fearful sights and great signs from the heavens. Huh. Well, fearful sights in Greek is the word phobotron. And the word phobotron only has one meaning. It's the word for monsters. Anybody who knows Greek knows that's what that word means. So Jesus literally said, at the end of the age, there will be the appearance of monsters. And then he added, and great sights shall there be from the heavens, and the Greek uses the word apo, a preposition. It describes something descending right out of the heavens into this realm. And so here we have a mystery that there's going to be the appearance of monsters and something descending out of the heavens. And if you tie that together with Matthew 24:37, that what was happening before the days of Noah are going to be repeated again at the end of the age, it really throws open the door for all kinds of possibilities.
The prophecy in Luke 21:26 could also be referencing the Nephilim coming upon the earth once again. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Some theories suggest that the Nephilim didn't all disappear in the recent time following after the flood, but that they've continued to live on in caves, mountains, desolate islands, and behind giant rock doors. The most recent claim regarding this was from TikTok user RBDCell, who said while driving through Oregon, he saw a massive door in the mountain which opened up and a giant being was looking at him through it.
There, right up there. That thing was open. It opened completely up and then it closed back up. And there's a little slot in it right up there. You can see that little slot. Where it looked like somebody was staring out of. Dude, giants are freaking real. I don't care what anybody says.
A lot of other videos have surfaced before and after this event of what appears to be giant rock doors in the sides of mountains, and they all seem to be in desolate places. This video is from Mexico, in which the uploader who posted it claimed that this was a giant human-like being sticking its head out of the cave. This figure does have some man-like qualities, but it almost looks as if the bottom half of him even is like the legs of an animal, very similar to the ancient depictions of the half-man, half-horse being, the centaur. These days, you have to take into account the possibility of staged or fake videos, but hundreds of years ago, this was not something that Native American tribes had on their mind. In 1882, Sarah Winnemucca Hopkins, the daughter of a Paiute Indian chief, wrote in her book the story of the red-haired giants that harassed the Native American tribes living in the Nevada region. The Paiute legend says that for years, the tribes who lived in the region were warring with the red-haired giants. The tribes joined together to fight off these red-haired giants who were cannibalistic and very cruel. They eventually chased the remaining giants into Lovelock Cave, in which they proceeded to destroy the remaining giants, smoking them out with a large fire and with hails of arrows as they came out of the cave. In the late 1800s, two miners discovered a high quantity of guano in the cave, which was an ingredient used for gunpowder. Lots of artifacts were found, and the location eventually became an archaeological site, in which a sandal was found that measures 15 inches. Similar stories of large red-haired giants are also found on the Solomon Islands in Papua New Guinea. During World War II, Japanese soldiers claimed that while fighting on the islands, large red-haired giants that were around 10 to 15 feet tall would charge the soldiers, in which bullets had little effect on them. Local legends also tell of a young girl named Mango who was kidnapped by giants, and it was believed that she was killed. However, after being missing for 25 years, she reappeared in a terrible state and was almost unrecognizable. The story goes on to say that when she was found, she was pregnant. The people who found her believed that it was by one of the giants, and it's said that she gave birth to a half-breed boy who was killed at the age of 5 by one of her brothers. If Nephilim beings still live in the earth, this may be the reason why caves all around the world are sealed up and barred off. From Kansas City, Missouri to Istanbul, reasons claim to be for safety, animal habitats, vandalism, and some just completely unknown. Seeing so many caves around the world sealed off, and in some cases for completely unknown reasons, leads many people to believe it's not who they're trying to keep out, but what are they trying to keep in. This theory may shed some light on why DARPA out of nowhere created a private contest for people to create warfare technology to be used in subterranean environments.
The DARPA Subterranean Challenge is focused on the world beneath us as competitors vie to rapidly and remotely map, navigate, and search complex underground environments. These deep, dark, dangerous, dirty, and largely unknown spaces present substantial challenges for warfighters and emergency personnel as they respond to threats from adversaries or disasters. Achieving situational awareness for underground operations will require diverse and perhaps unexpected skill sets. The Sub-T Challenge is an open competition where teams from all around the world can compete for prize money, awarding high performance at each of three circuits. We are seeking versatile solutions from small to large teams to join us as self-funded competitors from across the range of disciplines. High school, grad school, or even old school, we're interested in all your great ideas.
DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency and is responsible for developing the most cutting-edge technology to be used by the military. The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency's Subterranean or Sub-T Challenge seeks novel approaches to rapidly map, navigate, and search underground environments during time-sensitive combat operations or disaster response scenarios. The three types of environments that this challenge took place in was in tunnels, urban, and caves. Leading some to wonder, does DARPA know something that we don't? Are they preparing for warfare in the caves and underground environments of the Earth? If the Nephilim return, and it looks like they just might, the evidence is pointing that these entities will come from the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6:12 tells us this is where the evil spiritual wickedness and power resides. This is why we're seeing the increase in UFO activity as we lead towards the last days and the time of the Antichrist and false prophet coming to deceive the world with a great delusion accompanied by all power, signs, and lying wonders.
Jesus said it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah in the time of the end. Could we see Nephilim giants walking the earth once again sometime soon?
Well, before the flood, there were hybrid creatures. Okay, what are we facing today? Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, that's what it's going to be before the coming of the Son of Man. And the Greek says it's going to be a replication. So whatever was happening is going to happen again. And it implies that in some way, now, Eric, I cannot tell you in what way, but in some way, those events are going to be replicated.
Thank God that all power in all of creation is under the authority of Jesus Christ. So anyone who believes in him and has made Jesus the Lord of their life is on the winning side of this battle between holy and evil spiritual forces. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only way to be on the winning side of this final battle. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth."